helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest is Dr. Pinto. Carla, welcome.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you today.
Carla, welcome. Thank you for spending some time. I know time is always a precious commodity for physicians like yourself, but I think you are somebody, as I've had the chance and privilege to know you, and as I've read and looked through your book, that you are a person who is willing to carve out time for the necessary things, and especially prayer and being on your knees and going before your Heavenly Father. And so we're going to really, again, do a deep dive on the power of prayer and how to apply prayer to the everyday. And it's probably easier said than done, especially for busy healthcare professionals. So we're gonna dive in and talk about that. But before we do, I think it'd be really helpful, Carla, if I could just hear and the audience could hear your faith journey. How did you come to faith in Christ?
Thank you so much for having me here today. So I grew up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. My parents were believers before I was born. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is my dad had a Muslim background, but he found Jesus in his time going to high school in the city in Bissau and the capital. And after that, like, he followed the Lord and met my mom at a youth conference. And years later, they got married. And they always wanted to give us an environment where we would grow and learn about the ways of the Lord. Mm. And my first example of an intercessor was actually my mother. Mm. She prays about everything. Both of them actually do. I remember waking up in the morning, mommy, mommy, and they'll get to their room and they're holding hands and praying early in the morning. And so I grew up seeing that and watching them implement prayer in everything. Mm. And so, you know, at 7 years old, I did give my life to Jesus. I still remember like yesterday, but truly started living when I was 14. Okay. And I said, I don't want to just follow my parents to church. I want to learn and know more of the God of the Bible for myself.
Oh, that's what a blessing to have that rich heritage of having parents demonstrate not only what it means to be a Christ follower, but also to be prayer warriors like your mom. I'm sure that, I know that's been something that I'm sure is modeled, as it was modeled to you, something you carry forward in your own devotional life. So you understand now a relationship with Christ. You've embraced it as your own, not just your parents' faith. Talk about your calling and journey into medicine, because that is in and of itself a unique calling. And I read through your journey. I mean, it wasn't a straight line. There was a lot of twists and turns to get to where you're currently at in Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. And as you said, so I was born and raised in Guinea-Bissau, West Africa, a Portuguese-speaking country. Mm. I found faith at home with my parents. And my mom used to say from the age of 3, I would play doctor. I want to become a physician. And I still remained with that passion in high school. Always wanted to become a physician. And China was basically granting scholarships to the graduates, the high school graduates, to go to study medicine in China. Mm. I tried going to Portugal, Brazil, you know, and even the UK and the US, but those doors were not opening. And so China came along, and at the time I had a family member there, a cousin that her husband was working at the embassy of Guinea-Bissau in China. Mm. And they, you know, encouraged my mom, you know, like, hey, like, Carla could come. We're here. We would be supportive. My mom happened to go to China for work. It was for a conference, and they showed her the universities. And my mom came very excited. She was like, Carla, I think this would be a great opportunity for you. And so With that passion to become a doctor, I was willing to go to a different country, learn Mandarin, because that was the condition. You had to learn Mandarin for a whole
Whoa.
year,
Oh, my.
and then get into medical school. For 5 years.
How many languages do you speak, Carla?
I speak five.
Yeah. Golly, I already counted three. So, wow, that's incredible. That's fantastic. So, go ahead, finish your story. That's fine.
So I learned Mandarin in China. I speak Portuguese, from home. And then we speak Creole as well. It's like a broken Portuguese in Guinea-Bissau. It's different from the Haitian Creole. It's
Oh, okay.
different from the Louisiana Creole. It's just a fusion of Portuguese and an African language. And I also picked up Spanish here in Chicago. So those are the five. And so going to China was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I got to go to the, they have like the different fellowships, Christian fellowships in Beijing where foreigners could go and attend. So in China, there are three types of churches. There's the underground church that we hear about the stories that people go house to house, and they're mainly predominantly Chinese. Usually, foreigners, when they attend to these churches, are actually a threat because they call the attention of the police. There's the second type of church that is the three self church that is controlled by the government, the Chinese government. And they cannot preach everything of the Bible. They have to go based on what the government allows them to preach. And then you have the international church, that the third type of church that I joined, that it's mainly that has foreigners, but Chinese individuals are not allowed to congregate with us. So I was part of the international church, and they have various international churches in different cities in China.
So you're able to still engage with your faith and be with other like-minded Christ followers. So you go there, and then how do you get to United States? How do you get to Chicago? What's the journey there?
So I was part of this church for 5 years. I learned a lot and grew spiritually with a like-minded students that prayed a lot. And from there, I had built connections. And actually, it was through prayer that someone was like, "I feel like I sense that the Lord is sending you to Chicago specifically." And after that, as I went by faith, I did have a friend that was in the same university that was in Chicago. The interesting thing was I didn't even have to find an apartment because she had another friend that was moving out of her apartment and told me about it while I was still getting ready to get to Chicago. So a few days later, after I arrived to Chicago to pursue my studies, but also because I felt it was led by the Lord. 5 days later after arrival, I was already signing the lease with this new apartment. Made friendships, also met other believers, and took on from there. And I knew I was coming to Chicago to pursue my studies, to do my residency, and also end up doing my master's of public health. So,
How did your faith endure during these times? A lot of, being away from family, of course, the travel, the different twists and turns, the high stress, the pressure cooker of being in medicine. How did your faith endure during that season, or still does, I mean, during the season you're currently in, even as you're in your fellowship?
a great question. Truly, the my relationship with God has been an anchor for me. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God." And I learned to apply this principle in everything. Just talk to God. I said, "Lord, I have this Chinese exam. What do I do? What is the strategy?" And I'm hearing the promptings of the Lord, sustaining in His word, going hurdle after hurdle, but also celebrating His grace in going through them through prayer.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment. There's something you share with your Christian healthcare colleagues that you share with no one else. This coming January, step away from the hospital, the practice, the classroom, and reconnect. Join us for the 43rd annual CMDA West Coast Winter Conference in Cannon Beach, Oregon, with speakers Dr. Kristen Collier and Dr. Corey Wilson on courage, faith, and ethics in medicine. Great teaching, real fellowship, miles of open beach, unforgettable sunsets, and the best children's program of any CMDA conference. It will be a time of worship, rest, and renewal. Register today at cmda.org/Cannon Beach. Come, refresh.
Yeah, it sounds like just continuing to keep an ongoing conversation and communion with God throughout the day. And then, of course, you said something about the word too, and the essential ingredient there, which I'm gonna come back to as we talk about your book a bit. Actually, while we're on that subject, let's ask what prompted you to write this? I mean, like I said, it's not like you've got a lot of hours in your day that are just unstructured and free. I'm sure. Why were you compelled to put this together, this devotional?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So, right before residency, I really felt at this prompting of the Lord to gather other physicians that would get into the same training, residency training, for us to pray together and encourage each other. Mm. Because as you know, residency is not easy. It's very intense. You know, there's a lot of pressure in the demand of the work. So I created this group called Kingdom Doctors on Fire. And four or five of us have been consistently meeting on a weekly basis on Sunday evenings, and we would call and encourage one another with a word, with prayer. And during one of those periods, I think it was in 2022, I really had this, you know, this prompting, and I looked at, and it was like a table of contents with 12 topics. And it was based on Matthew 18:18, that says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Mm. And in this content, I could see all these topics are where we bind fear and we lose boldness, and, you know, bind anxiety and lose trust. And after writing it all down, I told the physicians, I think we really need to take the time to pray together for 12 weeks on a daily basis. And I'll be sending you scriptures. We'll be fasting and praying. We'll be praying for medical doctors all over the world. We'll be praying for our families, for our jobs. And I consistently was texting, you know, a Bible verse mm-hmm. on a daily basis for 12 weeks based on those topics. Mm. And I did it with so much, you know, just knowing that it was just an assignment. And after that, you know, it was over and we were done with it. But then what was really surprising to me was that a couple years later, the Lord was like, I want you to have this in a book, you know, take all the text messages and actually have it as a devotional for healthcare professionals, not only physicians, you know, for pharmacists, physical therapist, anyone that is in the medical field is able to go through these, you know, 3 months and pray the scriptures. So I just did it out of obedience.
Yeah. Having carried through with it yourself and a group of others and being dedicated to persisting in prayer for those 12 weeks. What things, outcomes, both maybe personally you and the group encountered through that season of prayer? How did God show up?
It's very good. One of the key, I'll say, focuses of that group was that we would all get into residency, mm-hmm. we'll go through the process, and we'll complete it successfully. And by the glory of God, I can say we are all graduated from residency. Few of us are in fellowship, some already attendings, and God was just faithful, I can say of that. And then other outcomes, like where they basically shared in terms of some hurdles that we're going through in residency, were able to, they overcame those hurdles. We saw God even working in our families. We had, some members that have family members that were sick and were able to overcome, and they're well now. We also prayed for our leaders, for our program directors, for those in eminence that make decisions, and even the some that either had issues like tensions and with the relationships, they were all straightened out. It was amazing to see the immediate outcome of that prayer season, but also the long term that we all graduated and God was faithful. We can definitely say prayer works. I believe it's a powerful weapon that God has given us, and I still apply it today as a fellow and soon to be an attending.
Yeah, I think in our earlier conversation, Carly, you mentioned you have a group of faculty where you're at in Chicago that pray with regularity too, don't you?
Yes. So I end up finding out from another attending, and I don't know how, we're just in conversation, and he invited me to the group, and it's been such a blessing to be with the group on a monthly basis where we are focused on a scripture. We also pray for each other. We pray for our institution, and for other prayer requests. It's been so encouraging.
I mean, yes, very encouraging to know that you're not alone, isn't it? And in academics, centers can seem a little bit more lonely and maybe even hostile at times. And to know that other faculty like yourself, I mean, soon to be, as you are going into academic medicine, that are Christ followers who love the Lord and are committing that institution and your very lives to praying. And I think that's exciting. That's exciting news. Talk about something in the book that you do. You do it in every devotional. You make sure that there's a Bible verse, that there's scripture part of the devotional experience. Can you speak into the importance of God's word to prayer, how those two things interrelate and why they're essential together?
Very good. That's such a great question. There's a Bible verse that does talk about the fact that he elevated his word above his name. God's word is the will of God. We can pray and ask God for anything, but if we want to make sure that we're praying the will of God, we need to pray his word. And his word has been settled in heaven. There's a scripture that talks about that. And so I strongly believe on the power of the word of God. The word of God is like a seed that we plant. And he even said, there's a scripture that says that he sent his word, and he healed them. His word would not come back to him void, but he would accomplish the purpose for which he was sent. I believe it's in the Isaiah 55. But the word of God is so powerful. The same word that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he gave us the same creative power by speaking his word. And so when we pray, we can pray his will, that is his word. And he can't help it but fulfill his word.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment. Hey, students and professionals, now is the time to register for the 2027 CMDA National Convention, happening April 29th to May 2nd in the Cincinnati area. Right now, we are offering the absolute lowest prices for registration you will see all year. So take advantage of the deep discounts while they are available. If you joined us already this year, you know this event is a fantastic opportunity to meet healthcare professionals from all over the world, to refresh your mind, to worship alongside like-minded Christian brothers and sisters, and to restore your faith. Join us in Cincinnati next spring. Register now at natcon.cmda.org.
Yeah, No, I think that's such a key point that you're making, Carla, that the importance, you know, first hearing from God before, you know, let him talk to us before we talk to him. And he talks to us through his word. And I find the word can be just such a tremendous help too in shaping my prayer life, because I struggle, as it, I think Romans talks about those, the spirit within us that groans sometimes without word. We don't have the words, and yet we know God can hear our hearts and so forth. But, you know, the Psalms certainly become a great prayer guide, obviously, but it's more than that. Places like Ephesians 3, Romans 11, prayer is, you know, all throughout. And to take God's word and to pray it back to him, and to, and like you said, it is his will, and we can have the confidence to know that that is something that we can anchor our prayers upon, is his word of God, his word, that is. And so, yeah, I'm so glad you did that in each of these devotions. Make sure that we are pointed to the word itself too, and that would guide our hearts and our minds.
I really like what you said about the word, how it shapes us. You know, the word has the power to change us from within.
Definitely. Well, so, you know, this podcast is primarily, although not exclusively, targeted to trainees, students, and residents, fellows like yourself. There's going to always be the sense of, well, you just don't know my schedule. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the trials, the tribulations, the issues that I'm struggling with. And I just can't imagine carving out time to pray. I can't imagine making prayer a part of the rhythm of my life, my day-to-day life. Would you just speak into some of the challenges? And they're real, I know. I mean, I have a son-in-law in medicine. He's a trainee. He's a resident. The pressures, the stressors, the schedule, it's just beyond what I can even imagine. But I look at it from even outside, and I just don't know how anyone has time to even eat or sleep. And yet, you know, Lord's inviting us to come into communion with him to pray. What would you say somebody, you know, just is struggling with this idea of bringing prayer into their life and being able to pray? How would you encourage them?
Yeah, number one, I understand, because I've been there. Maybe not the same, you know, not the same specialty specifically, but I understand being, you know, up at 5 a.m. and going home at 9, 10 p.m. and doing the same all over again. But what I find is that prayer is way, it's beyond us setting a period of time just to spend with God, let's say 30 minutes or an hour. But like the verse said in Philippians, it says that in everything, through prayer and supplication. Right. So we can have God involved in our lives in everything. God even cares how you feel about your latte. He does care. He cares about how you feel about, you know, someone, you know, cutting you off in the line, and how you feel in that moment. He cares about those things. He cares about your perspective of the world. He cares about your family. God cares about every aspect of our lives. And if we have that perspective, we can, he's not too big for us to have him involved in the smallest things in our lives. So as busy as we are, we can invite him. Father, I thank you. I know I need to rush out, but I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you. I need you today. I need you, my medical decisions. I need you in the next steps that I need to make for today, with a patient that I'm caring for, with the patients that I'm presenting, with my relationship with my coworkers, where you invite the Lord on a daily basis, but also in the little moments of the day. And I remember in residency, it was so busy, and I did not have that, so much of that dedicated time, but I found that just acknowledging him throughout the day was so, it was so good. Because I still would get direction. I would see, hear his voice. I would hear him, his encouragement through people. And it so helped my faith during that time. So I encourage to really stay in that course where we daily approach the throne of God, but involving God in everything in our lives.
Oh, that's a good word. I don't know if you've ever read the book Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It's a classic little piece. It's a monk, I'm going to hazard a guess of what century, but back in the day he lived, and he was kitchen help. He was cleaning the kitchens, but he was able to discover how to bring God and communion with God into the mundane, into the things mm-hmm. that weren't spiritual. They were the work and the efforts, but he was always in communion with him, and he could practice the presence of God through every fabric and rhythm of his life. And it just is it's an encouragement, and it really echoes what you said, Carla. It's just, you know, maybe sometimes the intentional piece, you know, it'd be great if some, you know, picked up this book and went through these devotions, and I imagine you could spend maybe 5 minutes at least, and then, you know, that would be something. But even if you couldn't go and do something that intentional, but constantly just having that ongoing communion with him. I also noticed something too you said, which I think is so important, and you've modeled it from your story, is how important it is just to have somebody or a group of somebodies to pray with. That adds such a level of accountability, but also I think it just is, it's encouraging. Rather than us being out on an island ourselves, to find a couple of other believers that you can maybe just pray for, pray with. Care to speak into that a little bit, the importance of community with prayer?
Wow, the community is so important. Even Jesus modeled it by pairing the disciples two by two when they went out. Mm. You know, we see the disciples praying together and fasting after Jesus ascended. And they left all these examples to show the importance of having community. I think it's in Ecclesiastes that says, you know, when two are together, if one is down, the other one can help him up, you know, and that is the importance of having someone around that has similar values where you agree. Mm-hmm. You know, also Jesus said, if two or three are gathered, there I am mm-hmm. in the midst of them. You know, he also said, if two of you such will touch and agree, you know, you will be done. So God wants us to agree. And this is why the enemy comes against unity and comes against partnerships purposely, because he knows the power of unity. I think it was even with the Babel Tower, when they came together and they were building this monument because they wanted to reach the skies. Even the Lord said, look at what they're doing. They have one mind. They're so united that they can do anything. Mm. That's the power of agreement. How much more when we come together to believe the word of God mm-hmm. and believe in faith, in prayer, believing that what God desires to do on earth will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So community is very important to establish the kingdom of God.
Mm. Amen. Wow, this has been a fun, encouraging conversation, and you know, we talk a lot about prayer. We are a ministry that prays. I see it all the time with our leaders. We understand the importance of prayer. We talk about praying with patience too. You know, to be the hands and feet of Christ to those that come to us for care. So prayer is such an important ingredient, but even fundamentally, that we would be in constant communication with our loving Heavenly Father. And we have direct access to His Son, Jesus Christ, who is our intermediary, who goes before us. And we can boldly enter the throne room of grace to receive His mercy because of what Christ has accomplished for us. And that is such an incredible privilege. And we should not seek to squander that, but take advantage of that invitation at every opportunity we can. And I'm thankful for you, Carla, that you are not one who just writes about it, but you've practiced it. You see it in your life and continue to do so. You're finding communities like this group to pray with at your institution. This is going to drop. This podcast will probably drop in a couple months, so this may be after the fact, but, you know, God is over time, so we'll trust that prayers that, you know, as people may be praying for you, that this may be already an answer to prayer, but we can pray for you I like to ask our listeners as watching to pray for you. You're still pursuing what the, you know, life after fellowship is going to be, right? You're still pursuing those opportunities.
100%.
So we want to lift you up in prayer on that.
Thank you.
And I'll be praying just to close our podcast in that regard. Anything else we can pray for you?
I would say, you know, I received the news that I lost an aunt of mine today.
I'm sorry, a friend?
An aunt.
Oh, an aunt.
My sister's mom. And so just praying for comfort for the family and for our family. And it's hard, but mainly for comfort. That would be great. Thank you so much.
Okay. I am going to close in prayer. I want to pray for your family. I want to pray for you. Anything, just as a last word, too, as you are speaking to, again, mostly trainees, anything you'd like to say as just kind of a takeaway that would perhaps just put a punctuation on what we've been discussing?
Yeah. I just want to say that remember that you are powerful in Christ. You know, you have everything that you need for life and godliness. You can apply prayer, and that I believe that prayers are an atomic bomb that we that we carry to really destroy things in the world of darkness, and where fear and anxiety and so many dark things have taken over. But we know that greater is He that is in us, that He that is in the world. And so I want to encourage you, if you're a student, a fellow listening to me, remember that you carry kingdom in you, and you can do it and display it through prayer.
Amen. Thank you again, Carla, for being a guest here and to be able to share from your own life and your heart and passion. And we're going to put in the show notes information on how people can get this book. Amazon and other retailers, of course, have it available. So thank you. And let me pray for you as we close out our time together.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for what you have been doing in and through Carla's life. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, your love and kindness towards us. And right now, I just lift up Carla to you. She is embarking on this next season of her life as she looks to academic opportunities to be your witness, to be your ambassador, to do the work you've called her to do. This vocation, this is a calling. And Father, lead her into the next a place that you would have her. We know that it will be the best. Give Carla the patience to allow the process, the interviews, and all of that to play itself out, and give her perseverance to continue to work through all that's going to be required to find out where you would have her next. But Father, we know that her life, her future is in your hands, and we can trust you and have confidence to know again that where you plant us, where you put us, it is the best. Father, also I want to lift up Carla's family, especially her aunt's side of the family, that just as they mourn, as they grieve her death, that you would draw close to them. You are a Savior who is acquainted with grief and suffering, and sympathizes and draws close, and is who weeps with us in our tears. So, Father, I just pray that you would draw close and give comfort to their family as they find a kind of a hope-filled grief, because we grieve those who we lose, but we have the hope of knowing that there is one day when all things will be set right, when there will be a final resurrection and an eternity spent with you. And so we take hope and confidence in that as well. So, Father, we just take these things up in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank
God bless.
You. God bless.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.